Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Before time had a name, there was a garden, a place where heaven and earth walked as one. This is the Echoes of Eden, where we rediscover ancient roots and awaken to our eternal purpose.
All right, guys, so we are back, and I am joined again by, or with my friend Ray. Ray, would you like to say hello to everybody?
Hello, everybody.
And this week, we are talking about being present in a digital age. And I chose you for this because you've got three teenagers mm-hmm. and a young one. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I've seen the three teenagers. They are glued to a cell phone.
And the little one is also. She followed the footsteps.
Which, you know, my oldest daughter is more so. She has her little play, not really a play phone, just one of an old phones that we have. It's the last one I got that she can play with and text friends with. She broke her last one, and she's like, I need a new phone. I said, you're 10. You're not getting a new phone.
Right. I went through that.
But I know they're going to grow up in this technology world more so than even I did and you did. We're already seeing the whole AI stuff. Mm-hmm. And to the point, people don't even know if you got to really pay attention to a video to see, is this AI or is this not?
Mm-hmm. And then got to verify things constantly because you can't tell what's right from wrong, what's real and not real. Or is it misleading?
Yeah. You've got to really think about it. Mm-hmm. So I know they're going to grow up with this. And I guess for me, you want them to know how to use it properly and how to all this kind of that part. You want to let them know how to use stuff properly and correctly because, you know, us working in media with the church, you know, technology can be used for the good side. It's like I heard somebody say, technology is not good or bad. It's all in about the hands that it's in. No, that's where it comes down to.
I can see that.
But one of the things that stuck with me, and you've kind of even challenged me as a dad, and I've never told you this before, but it's knowing that you and your family, y'all set a time to do Bible study as a family. Mm-hmm. And not just that, but I know we've joked about this, you have the ability to cut your Wi-Fi on and off.
Yes.
And
no phone service. I'm blessed with that. I truly am. Because even other parents, we talked about it, and they're like, well, we got it. We could turn it off, but they still have service in our house, so don't technically shut the phones off. And I'm like, you might have to get a app or something to control that.
So you don't have phone service, so they can use phone Wi-Fi.
Data. Yeah, they can use data in our house.
Okay, that makes sense. And that I would have to agree that would probably be a blessing. Mm-hmm. I could see a blessing and a curse, but having teenagers and be able to shut that off mm-hmm. and forcing them to do something different. Mm-hmm. I could see that. But that to me is a big deal because y'all are living in that world of having the kids with the technology right now. I'm not there yet, other than my oldest daughter. I don't have to worry about all this. But y'all do. Y'all got two teenage boys, teenage daughter, mm-hmm. got a younger daughter who you said is following in those footsteps, yeah, of course.
She has a phone with full access. Recently, I think in the past 2 years she's been introduced more to social media, but everything has control with passwords. We have access to passwords. They can't change them without us. And their social media accounts are linked to ours, so at any time we can go on theirs and see what they're doing. Not so much as a control factor, but just to be able to see what they're into.
Now, do you get any kind of attitude error with that? With them knowing?
Not generally. Only time it ever come with an attitude was when generally it come with a punishment and we were taking their phones. But as far as, like, they knew the rule when we bought the phones, we own it, we paid for it, you're using it.
You're in our house.
Just like we battled it with school. It's a property that we put on our child, the same as jackets, shoes. We give it to them for them to have for our reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to be removed. So they know when we say we want the phone, unlock it, hand it to us, they do. And anytime we can't unlock it with the password and they've changed it, they tend to know they're in trouble for that one. As long as they hand it over right away, like they tell us, it's not a big deal. Like, okay, you changed it because one of your friends seen you put your password in at school. Understandable, you just didn't tell us. No big deal. You unlocked your phone right away. You didn't, like, argue with us about it.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So,
because not everybody can be trusted with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We did battle the not supposed to see things. The mm-hmm. exploring phase with our kids, especially, you know, when you're asleep because you got work next day and they're up and they're on phones and you know they are. This was back before we could control the Wi-Fi. Those conversations always just got interesting. As far as, like, you don't want to fuss at them. You know eventually it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, both of them, we was calm about it. You know, of course, Mama was hostile. Took her a minute to calm down, but once the conversation was had and the explanation and the understanding got across, they realized, don't go there. That's not somewhere I should be.
Right.
I haven't really had much issues with that since.
So, to pry a little bit, did they come to you with
this? No, were caught.
They were caught with it?
Yeah, they were walked in on caught.
Okay.
And they couldn't have the phone fast enough. They couldn't, you know, they couldn't get rid of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But this was actually back in not full-on phone service times. These were back used phones just running off of Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
That's when all this happened.
Wow.
And honestly, you know it had to be from friends at school.
Probably.
Because it wasn't at home. They didn't see us on our phones with nothing like that.
Yeah.
So it was somebody found it, or someone's cousin shared it with them, and they shared it with them, like, check this website out, or you can see whatever. That's what I assumed happened.
So, because you made a good point, especially with teenagers, you can't stop them.
No.
How do you say that?
Exploring.
They're going to be exposed to this. It's 2025. Yeah. With everything out there right now, they're going to be exposed. But the important part goes back to having the ability to have the conversation. To say, hey, you know, we caught you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this. And that's an important part of it.
Yeah, you go for, you know, it's hard to tell somebody not to do something without justifying a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So the same with your kids when it comes to learning technology, why you don't do certain things, and then you got to show reason for it. Like, you don't go to certain websites just because your friend told you to, because you wipe out a whole computer.
Yeah.
You can get a virus on it quickly, and then you have no computer left.
Yep.
Or they can get important information that your parents didn't want nobody to have.
And same thing true with the phones. I mean, phones are basically a small computer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is.
So once those conversations went through, and staying calm with it helped a lot, you know, because when you're irate and mad, you can't get a child to listen to you. They're just more worried about the fact they're in fear because you're upset.
Yeah.
We always found it better to give it time and then go back and, you know, talk again. Like, you can't help but let them know you're disappointed at the point in time you found them doing whatever they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But to, look, don't do this no more. I don't want to ever see that again, or you're not going to have your phones no more. Then walk away. Take time, calm down. Like, me and her would talk about it. Then later on, several hours later, be like, look, y'all need to come in here. Let's explain this, why this was wrong, why we lost our temper a little bit. And you'll have an understanding, and shouldn't ever be a problem. And thankfully, it's not.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they're older now. If they hid it from us, they've just learned to hide it.
Yeah.
But they know. They know right from wrong. They know they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I'm not going. I can't stand on top of them like that. And I've talked to my wife about it. I used to sneak around in the house of a night when they're told to go to bed, because, you know, 9 o'clock bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
Went nuts, just could stand in the kitchen, get a drink of water, stand there quietly. You could tell somebody was up.
Yeah.
You hear them talking. You hear them giggling. You could peek around the corner, look in the room. You see the light off the phone. You always found a way to call them.
Yeah.
And if generally, if I wanted to catch them, it wasn't ever hard. They always did it. Eventually, it just come to the point of, you're going to do it when you're told not to, then you're going to learn the hard way. And it took several months down struggling of a morning, because I'd wake them up earlier for school. If I know they were up, I was waking them up early.
Yeah.
But eventually, you'll be tired enough, you won't stay up on the phone, you'll go to bed.
Yeah.
And so now they've gotten to that, they realize it. Eventually, I learn to say no to it, because it'll keep me up all night, and I'm going to pay dearly for it tomorrow, not the phone.
Yep. That's a good point.
Just had to learn them, let them learn it.
It's a very good point. So, okay, so let's circle back to the Bible study thing that you guys do as a family. Do you allow them to have their phones during that time?
Yeah, we don't take it from them, because I know we keep the app on our phone for our Bibles, and generally notes on our phones.
Okay, that makes sense.
Crystal likes to write in a notebook. Ray likes to write things down in a notebook. I write notes in mine.
I like a phone. Yep.
That just, to me, it's faster to type it, and I keep everything organized better.
Now, are there
any, I'm horrible at that anyway.
Are there any? I know that feeling too. Are there any rules as far as the phones during the Bible study?
They're not supposed to be on social media during the Bible study. Of course, we've caught them. They get interrupted, distractions, people, you know.
That's a very real thing, the distractions sink in.
Yeah, always something tries to distract. It happens. We just have to kind of bounce off of it and keep going.
So that's one of the things, that trying to engage our kids, even spouses at times, or wives, without distractions. And this day and age is not an easy task to overcome.
No.
That's why I was kind of curious to see whether any rules as far as Bible study that they can't, because I'm the one, even on Sundays and stuff, when Pastor, you know, get your Bible out, I don't carry a Bible with me. Well, it's in my bag, but I don't get it out. My Bible is on my phone.
Yeah.
I got every translation I want. I got access to all that. And then, you know, when it comes to taking notes, I like taking notes on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest reason for that for me is because I do have a lot of notebooks at home, and I have tried like different notebooks for different things, ideas and whatever, but I guess I just haven't stuck with it long enough to make it work. So one thing I like about my phone is I can search my notes quicker, mm-hmm, and find where I typed in something, and that is easier for me.
Yeah.
Than having to go back and flip through papers and all this kind of stuff.
I got horrible writing, so it's way easier for her to rake out.
Just to type.
You can make out what I put on the phone way better than what I did on paper.
See? And it depends for me. Like, if I'm taking my time writing, you could read. But if I start going fast.
You've gotten stuff down real quick.
There's times I go back and I'm like, what did I write?
What was I trying to say here?
I can make out some of this, but that looks like a foreign language to me.
I have done that real quick. Yeah, that's why I prefer just to type it in the phone. It's so much faster. And honestly, it's quieter. You're back there trying to write something down. You got rustling paper and stuff.
Yeah.
And just type it in on the phone and be done.
Be done with it.
I do believe that there are benefits to technology. And, you know, social media is saying keeping up with family. But I also realize that video calling people is amazing. When you get a distant family, you can video call, you can have face-to-face conversations and see things that you couldn't do unless you made that trip. But it also can play into a lazy factor, which I've caught myself in. My parents live 13 miles exactly from my house. But I have come to the point that a 20 to 30 minute video call with my parents is a lot simpler than an hour and a half, 2 hour visit.
Mm-hmm.
The fuel, the drive, then the time, then back home, I can sit down and the comfort and talk to my parents face to face, but it's not the same because you're not present with them.
True.
So some of the good things are not always good.
I think it takes it a step further, at least, to where, okay, so we'll take text messages, for example. Well, when I'm just reading a text from you, I don't know your tone. I don't know your
emotion in it.
You know, because I can be very sarcastic at times. Well, sarcasm in a text doesn't come out the same as if I'm in person being sarcastic.
Yeah.
It's the same thing if you go to the next phase. If you're just talking on the phone, I can't see your facial expressions. I can't see your body language.
Mm-hmm.
So the one benefit, I would go back to what you said about the video, is I can at least see your facial expressions. Kind of get a little, it gives more context to what you're saying, and, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, there's so many things good that can be pointed out with technology, and it can be used for a lot of good.
Yeah.
It can be misconstrued and used in a lot of bad ways too. And my dad told me a long time ago, when it comes to kids are like spinning tiles. Once you set them on the table and set them spinning, their direction is kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You can't force them in a direction. No matter how hard you try to blow the top in that direction, it ain't going to go, but it's kind of the way it's wanting to go. The way it's spinning, the momentum of it. Only thing you can do is set up obstacles for them to bounce off of. So when it comes to introducing our kids to technology, which I stood against, my wife pushed more because of their age. And I understand her reasoning behind it, because she wanted to learn more about them from their interests, what they liked, what they didn't.
I could see that, yeah.
Seen. Also, when it comes to, okay, this is an obstacle you bounced off of, how do we react and reset your direction to put you back on the right course? Every situation can be different. And learning from them, sometimes, you know, the punishment is a bad one, and, you know, it ends up in an argument and a disagreement, and they're mad at us for several days, or we're mad at them for several days. You learn from those, you know. Okay, well, screaming and hollering didn't get nothing accomplished. We're just all mad at each other. Mm-hmm. Next time they mess up, let's stop for a minute and maybe try to have a one-on-one conversation with them alone. Maybe one parent go in there and talk to them about it. You know, maybe someone they're not as mad at the time. It just
makes sense.
You got to just, you know, punishments. We realized that when they were younger, timeout didn't work for everything.
No.
Losing something like fun, like a video game, or, you know, been stuck to your room for a day or so, everything had to be different. It couldn't always be the same, because it didn't always work.
So true. Yeah.
Because, you know, you take something away from somebody for so long, they're eventually just not going to want it. They're not going to let it be that, like, hurt. You took my favorite RC car away. Now I can't play with it, so eventually I won't play with them.
Well, that's like when Kaylin, she broke her phone, so she went without her phone for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she got her phone back, she had an attitude or something, and of course Amanda said, you know, you lost your phone. And mm-hmm. Kaylin's remark was that, well, I went without it for 2 weeks, it'd be okay. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay, and so that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to figure out something else. You've
got to constantly change them. But it's just all learning.
It is.
Like, we had a conversation now. One of them's like, when I get off work, I just want to go home. And with the youth service tonight, Crystal's like, no, you know, I'm not going to let her just walk away. It's my job to make sure she's here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute. She's growing. She's 16. She's getting ready to be driving. You know, I don't expect her to come home every day from school. She's not going to get in the car and drive straight home.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to go different places. Like, hey, I'm going to go to Walmart. Or she's going to run to McDonald's. Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't expect her to come home every day. Just like last week, she has to spend the night during the week at a friend's house. Yeah, go ahead. My wife's like, why let her do it? It's school week. She's getting ready to start driving. She's getting ready to become an adult. You got to let them have some freedom now in order to make mistakes to learn from them.
True. Especially while they're under your care still.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
And you, if you don't let them get out and explore.
This is the time you want them to make mistakes because yeah. You're there
and
to help guide them.
She was like, well, you know, God wants her in church. We're supposed to keep her in church. And I'm like, yes, but we can't tear our relationship apart with her by constantly making her mad by not letting her grow.
Yeah.
So if she makes this choice, it's not a choice we want her to make. But if we stand and be like on top of her and try to be controller, she's just eventually, when she does realize she's got freedom, she's going to run.
Yeah. I can see both sides on that. And
I do too. I want her to come to these. I want her to be as much involved in church as she can.
But as the more we try to push it.
The more she fights back.
Yeah.
And, you know.
When instead, I believe there'll come a point where this is where they'll want to be.
Mm-hmm.
If we as, not as the parents, leaders, in my position, youth pastor, if we will take the time and create the culture of this is where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that with a couple different youth groups that I watch from afar, one specifically down in Alabama, where that's where their youth wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, I mean, they're asking the parents during the week, hey, we're going to go down to the church and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something you hear as teenagers do.
We were watching the show, and I might have mentioned this last time, I don't remember, about parents and different types of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was super controlled, super strict, limited everything. Like, they had an hour for this study, an hour for time outside, an hour for learning this. They write back to schoolwork, all homeschooled. Well, when it come to technology, their time was limited to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So when they agreed to this program with, I think it was like 14 other parents, and they all had different parenting styles. They gave the kids a free day. You have a free day to do whatever you want without parent restrictions. And generally the ones that were controlled went wild. It's like they got a taste of just freedom and they had to explore every bit of it they could find. Compared to the kids that had more relaxed home, not so controlled, well, to them nothing changed. Nothing, you know, was completely out of the question for them, so there was nothing they hadn't already learned from.
Yeah.
Technology, you know, once I give in and I let them have the phones and I realized, okay, social media's got my wife on it, they're watching it, she's on top of what they post, she's on top of who they talk to, who their friends are, I don't have to deal with that part. I'm more, when they get in trouble, bring them to me. I'm the judge in it, and I'll, you know, dish out what punishment's seen. She is more the watchful eye. And her perspective on things is not the same as mine, but I trust her judgment, so we don't have conflict with it. It works out great. And the kids, they seem to have become comfortable with it. They know boundaries. They know time limits. Dinner time, generally, you're not supposed to be on your phone. We all eat together. We might sit in different rooms, like she might sit in the living room. I might be on the kitchen table, wherever you sit comfortably, because with her back messed up now.
Completely understand that.
Yeah. But it's gotten a lot more relaxed since they've grown with them. In the beginning, was a lot more stressful.
Hearing you talk, it reminds me of what you said about what your dad taught you about the whole spinning thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're going to spin everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of our job is to give the boundaries so you don't run off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hit this and bounce back over here if you mm-hmm. need to. That's kind of when I'm hearing you talk. It's what I'm hearing is.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I grew up. And
relaxed parenting is just not parenting. It's just, I'm not going to control you to the point that...
You can't become who you
exactly need to be. And then when you do taste, like you said, when you taste freedom and you just go completely wild and actually run off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I just let you get close and look down it, and then I can push you back the other way.
Yeah, you can guide them. But if you just go off the wall with them and you lose your temper, they're not getting nothing. They're not learning nothing. They're just learning to fear you because they did something to make you mad.
Yeah. That's big right there.
It is. I've tried to always tell myself, I was really strict, especially with sons. I don't know why. Not so much with daughters. Men tend to be more relaxed with daughters. You'll feel it a couple of years when he's starting school. That's generally when who they are comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Attitudes and all. I got a 6-year-old cousin that Crystal's cousin, it's his little boy, going to school. And he's learned to tell a teacher what he really thinks of her.
Oh boy.
And, you know, as a parent, he's kind of okay. Yes, I'm mad at what he said, but I want to know as a father why he's saying it. Why does he have this opinion towards a teacher?
Yeah.
And me as an outsider, when he talks to me about it, I'm kind of like, he's what you want in your children. You want your child to be bold and not fearful.
Yeah,
that's true. To speak what comes across their mind, right or wrong, because that means that they're not afraid. And you don't want a child afraid. So I love, even though I know he's getting in trouble.
Yeah.
But he's been 100% honest with what he says.
Yeah.
And when he tells me, it's kind of hard not to laugh inside and be like, well, I mean, he's honest. He's not wrong. It's what he feels about him.
You don't have to worry about where you stand.
Yeah. You know exactly where you're standing.
That's so true.
I love hearing when they talk.
But, you know, it goes back to something you said a while ago about you don't want them afraid
mm-hmm.
of you. And when you said that, you know, you can take that into the spiritual world too, as God doesn't want you to be afraid of him. We have the fear of God, but that's not like a fear as in, it's the same kind of fear that we want as parents.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to come to me.
Be afraid not to. The
fear to me is more of a respect type
mm-hmm.
of just respect. You know, in my relationship, I'm your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with your teenagers and the Skylar who's younger. You're their dad.
Mm-hmm.
So respect that position, but don't be afraid to come. And that's something happened. We did something Wednesday night with the teenagers. They may have told you, I don't know, but we had them walk through a thing about trying to, one of the things I'm trying to do is teach them how to hear the Holy Spirit from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so had them go through this exercise, and Dale was there, and he made the statement. When he got to the door, I said, what do you hear the Holy Spirit saying? And had it, each one of them speak up. And Dale spoke up and he said, are you afraid of me? Or are you afraid or something?
Mm-hmm.
And I took that as interesting because I think he was the first one that gave a question. Other people in the room gave a statement that they heard. But his was, are you afraid? And I said, maybe that's an invitation to you from the Holy Spirit to not be afraid.
Very well. Could be.
I said, because if you're approaching him, and some of this has been taught in the church, if you're approaching him with fear, you're not approaching him rightly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't see him correctly, which is good, but this goes in a little bit to what I'll be teaching tonight. If you can't see him rightly, you're never going to see yourself rightly.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to learn, and it's, for us as dads, we're kind of the representation of the Father, because mm-hmm. of people nowadays, especially with teenagers, when I'm encountering them, when you use the phrase of God as a father, the first image they're going to think of is their dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're either going to have the, well, if he's like that, I want nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
Or you'll have the one saying, well, I had a great relationship with my dad, so let me experience. You know, you got to have to, in my position, you have to wrestle some of that
mm-hmm.
because not everybody had a good relationship with their dad.
Yeah. Some had, which I know some, but I luckily was blessed. I didn't have that relationship that was bad with my father.
Mm-hmm.
He worked a lot. When he was home with me, I was more like student helper. Whatever he was doing, I generally was there to help.
Yeah.
And I guess it was curiosity to me because, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of technology back when I was younger. So whatever Dad done was more interesting than what was going on in the house with Mom.
Makes sense, yeah.
So if he was outside messing with a vehicle or, you know, cutting down a tree, I'd rather be seeing that than with Mom and sweeping the kitchen floor.
That makes sense. Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
And once I got older, you know, technology come into play. He wouldn't have a part of it. You know, we got a computer in our house for the first time. I think I was a teenager, middle school. You know, he would never touch it. Mom did. She went on, learned to talk with family, you know, message and stuff. Me, I was just into everything.
Yeah.
Whatever come across my mind, whatever I was told to look up, some things I regret, you know, I won't mention on here. You just don't want to look up. And, you know, I learned boundaries quick that way.
Yeah.
Which I feel helped me learn to communicate better with my children on these boundaries and what to be aware of. You know, spam calling is a huge thing. Even my youngest gets spam calls.
Yeah.
And if it's not a number you recognize, don't answer it. Unless you gave your number to a friend that you may not have their number, you don't answer it. And then you got to look at the area code.
Don't answer it. Don't give no information out.
Mm-hmm. If they ask you anything other than your name, hang up. Yep. They're not for you.
That's it. That's crazy, the world that we live in with all that. I'm going to read a scripture because I think it ties into all of this. It's from the Deuteronomy. Chapter 6, and it says, you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And that, to me, reading that scripture, is what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. It's having the conversations,
mm-hmm.
Teaching them, putting the boundaries up as they're spinning and trying to figure out who they are.
I got a great example for that.
Go for it.
Like, my kids, we've had this conversation because, you know, they're going to start driving to that age.
Mm-hmm.
Phones while driving. And I've made it very, even with my wife, because what I used to do for a living, seen a lot of it, the dangers of people using the phone and driving.
Yeah.
And I found it easy to point it out to my kids while we were driving, even though I'd have to pull their attention from the phones or, you know, whatever. When someone was acting or driving erratic, because I could tell the phone's up in the window, you can see it through the back window.
Yeah.
To point it out and be like, look, watch how they're driving because they're distracted with the phones. And you'll see it firsthand for yourself. They're driving over in front of people, or they're running off the road, and made them aware of it before they actually get behind the wheel. Plus, made it a point in myself to demonstrate not doing that.
Not doing it.
Don't answer the phone. If text goes off, oh well, I'll get it when I stop. It's not that important.
Yep.
Because we let ours the other day, well, no. A while back, we let them, I think it was for Ray's birthday, ride in the back of their truck. We left from here and drove to Ares 8 miles,
mm-hmm.
in the back of the truck. I was nervous enough that I watched 4 different people cross the line in front of me and counted it. And I'm like, okay, now I understand. We don't do this. And I had to show them, look, I know you like riding in the back truck. Y'all never got to do it. It's fun.
I remember it as a kid.
But it is very dangerous.
Yep.
4 different times people come over in front of us that could have hit us. We wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in the back of the truck.
Makes sense.
Short, you know, down to the mailbox stuff, you want to ride back truck, great. But down main roads, no, people can't be trusted. They're too distracted.
Yeah.
And it's not even phones, yard sales. people run off the road looking at yard sales driving by because they don't want to stop.
Don't want to stop, but they want to look and see what's over there and forget what's going on in front of them. That's so true.
But back to technology, you know, it's grown so much. Your cars is full of technology. Your homes are still full of technology.
Especially the newer vehicles. Yeah.
You know, a washing machine detects you when it's done.
I mean, there's an app that I thought it was cool when we first got it, but I don't think I've used it, not once, but that you can put the app on your phone and tell it what to do, and it'll tell you, and I'm like, oh, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Only bad thing is if one of these breaks, how much is that going to cost to fix versus, you know, it's kind of like my little car I drive, everything's manual. The windows are manual. Mm-hmm. And I used to, when I first got it, I'm like, this is one. I only got it because I drove a lot at the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, this would be a perfect little car to go drive around. I said, but dang, everything's manual in it. Then I got to thinking, well, heck, if something breaks on this, it's not that hard to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if you got stuff that's motorized and everything else, that gets more expensive to replace.
Consuming.
And time consuming.
Another thought to add to that when it comes to like the apps about, you know, TVs got apps now.
Yeah.
The little vacuum cleaners, all these things. It can honestly steal more of your time distracting you.
Yeah.
And to me, I try to avoid things like that. I try to avoid what apps is on my phone. Games, you know, I have one or two games on my phone that, you know, I like giving attention to when I'm relaxing in the bed, getting ready to go to sleep.
Yes, same.
All those, you got to be careful and mindful of what you're doing with them. Because you can get, especially if they got ads or, you know, advertising something, you can get caught up in those too. Next thing you know, you're off Googling some
random thing
that come up that you're like, oh, that's interesting. Check that out. Because, you know, phones watch and they listen to you. They'll know if you talk about getting some special RC car or, you know.
I'm going to get on Facebook later and there's going to be an RC car on my Facebook. That's so true. And it's, you know, it's one of those things I heard somebody say before, and it's probably been a couple years ago, but there's a lot of truth to it about, you know, you might jump on social media and just want to spend 5 minutes before you know it. You've been on there for 2 hours and you're just scrolling and watching videos, and especially start watching reels. And I'm like, that's the amount of time that it can steal from you if you're not careful.
Duck Dynasty done a great example of that when they showed Uncle Si YouTube for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to watch one or two videos. 6 hours later, he was still on YouTube.
Still watching YouTube.
And found something else different, just kept leading him on.
Because that's what those algorithms master in. They master getting your attention.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like this video, let me recommend this, and let me recommend this. And that's what all that stuff is used for.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that. And it's like lately I've started trying to, one of the classes I'm taking, the guy talked about as far as having a different mindset is not using social media to scroll, but finding using social media to, like, the page that we made, using it more purposefully and going on there to interact. So, like, if you read a couple things, if you can add value, make your comment, that helps get people's attention. So I've been trying that. But the other thing has been I schedule posts. So I might take an hour in the evenings and build the post out for the entire week.
Yeah.
So I don't have to get on social media to make my post today.
Yeah.
It's already going out there.
Yeah.
So I set it for like 8 o'clock in the morning and it automatically
hits it and you don't have to worry about it.
It's on there. I don't have to worry about anything. And that keeps me from being distracted the other times. As long as I set this time away, this is what I'm doing. You can do that. And to me, I guess some of it just comes down to being intentional with what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just like with how you cut your wife off, where you're being intentional with what you're doing and the purpose behind this.
Mm-hmm.
Shutting all that down for now.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to figure out something else
for
this time frame. I think that's a big deal. Even with apps, I think it's important for us, especially as kingdom people. You know, why are we not building something If we know the teenagers are going to be on there, why are we not building apps to grab their attention, at least teach them the word instead of whatever else they can use on these phones?
I heard the other day, I was listening to something. It might have been the radio in the truck. They got to talking about how technology has kind of grown so vastly that it's plateaued.
Yeah.
Like, they can't do technology in too much more. They've got it in homes. They've got it in appliances. They've got it in your, you know, to the point, like, headphones are built into hoodies. And stuff like this, and now you got heated hoodies. And technology,
what more can you do?
It's plateaued. They can't really do much more with it. So when the next thing comes out, that one's going to be a game changer for technology. What it is, you know, they're trying it in flights. I know they've got, what, automated flights now for the, I think it was like 6 passengers.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just transporting them across property. It wasn't actually flying out and about.
Yeah.
Even that doesn't seem that great.
If you really think about it.
If you really think about it, like, okay, you're using a GPS and an oversized drone and you're transporting people. It could be safer as long as it's meticulously maintained, same as an aircraft now.
Yeah.
But who's going to be the one meticulous maintaining it? And then who's going to regulate it? Who's going to control where they go? And
then who's going to secure it, making sure someone can't hack it? And
hack it half-flight and then fly somebody, you know.
That's a lot of truth to that. Yeah. A lot of truth to that.
There's a lot of, more than technology, when it comes to your children, there's so much that you really got to devote time to understand to be able to explain. And then not been afraid to be like, I have no clue what that is. I have to go check it out for myself because, you know, like,
yeah.
If they come in and talk about Roblox, I didn't know what that was.
I still don't know what that is.
I had to go on and actually download the game and start playing it and realize, okay, this is what it's about to understand it. And then realize, okay, this is a decently fun, you know, group game where communities come together and everybody plays and can chat and stuff. But you also got bad people to come on and they're mean and they say inappropriate things.
Yep.
You just got to learn to mute it.
Yep.
I can't stand there and tell you not to listen to it, but I can show you how to mute it.
How to get them out.
You don't
have
to hear it.
Exactly right.
You know, Skylar come to us one time and she's upset. They said something mean to her game. I was like, baby, you don't have to hear it. You don't have to play the game. You can go to a different game,
mm-hmm.
or you can find something else to do, or just mute it.
Yeah.
You don't have to hear nothing nobody says.
Yeah.
You don't even have to talk to them just to play the game. You walk around just kind of Minecraft, you know, sort of like Zelda was. I know you remember Zelda.
Yeah.
Basically the same thing, but in a Lego form.
Makes sense now.
You're basically building and tearing up, and you got weapons and whatever. That's all it is.
Interesting. All right. So I'll ask you a couple questions to close it out.
I'm ready. Let's
go. No right or wrong, but these are just kind of for deeper reflection. What's the difference, you think, between being connected and being present?
The difference between being connected and being present. So connected is something I find more in a private, comfortable setting at home. You're at peace there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can connect there. You can block out all distractions so much simpler. When I feel like I'm present, I feel like I have submitted to where I'm being used. I'll give a great example. Like when we do our Bible study, one of the times we didn't talk about nothing in the Bible. We sat there and literally had a conversation, and it was more of a teaching moment for me and the kids and my wife to just interact with each other, and they learned more about having a conversation and talking to each other and sharing things that they've learned or they've noticed and opening up than we ever did, you know, maybe a verse in the Bible.
Yeah, that's
my good. Wife was kind of like, but we never talked nothing about the Bible. I said, but I was still used to teach our kids how to communicate with each other. back before technology was in the way, when you had nothing else to do, but you come home and, you know, you were called
We've to sit lost and eat. That, you in sit my opinion. And
talk at the table about how your mom's feeling, like if she's not feeling well, or if she heard from the neighbor who's sick, or, you know, a family member that might need somebody, whatever. Yeah. And we literally just learned how to talk to each other like that.
In my opinion, I think we've lost that ability.
That Bible study actually went, we try to keep it around an hour. That one, I think, went like an hour and 45 minutes.
Wow.
Just talking. We hadn't done that since we moved in our house.
And see, that speaks volumes, because you're talking about, you've got teenagers to talk. You've got your own kids to have an hour and 45 minute conversation with you.
With each other and us.
I mean, that's pretty, that's a big deal.
Yeah. And I
mean, because you've got a society now that where if we just talk for 5 minutes, I'm out of things to say because I don't have a phone. Or
I actually battle that inside of myself. Say, you know, pass somebody I know in a store, maybe just an acquaintance, maybe a neighbor. I try, not purposefully, just out of natural reaction, to shorten it.
Mm-hmm.
To be, you know, quick, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. Everything all right? Yeah. We'll talk to you later and move on.
Yeah.
And it just comes natural for me to want to try to avoid that conversation.
I think that's culture as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
If you really think about it, because we don't have those conversations. Some old lady behind
you holding her cart trying to push you up. Well, you're blocking me out. You feel that way. Like, I don't want to stand in the way, so let me just
end. I don't want to be a bother to nobody. Yeah. Maybe you got stuff to do. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But even going back to what you mentioned, Crystal had said, you know, you didn't bring out a Bible verse.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we forget. Go back to when the disciples, after Jesus has been crucified, they didn't have the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They just had each other and mm-hmm. to teach what they, you know, some of them had walked with Jesus personally.
Mm-hmm.
So they would teach the stuff that they heard, and they had community and had fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You go to other nations, like you think about China, they may get a couple pages out mm-hmm. of a Bible. But if we could ever get back to, no, I may not have had a Bible verse directly for this conversation,
mm-hmm.
but we had a conversation, Christ is within us. We're fellowshipping and learning and talking together to build this family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest thing. I mean, that's
open communication.
As a dad and a husband, my first ministry is my family.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't do that here, then what gives me the right to try to do something in a church building?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Because how can you teach others if you can't teach your own home?
And that's one of the things that's having grown up in the church world, it fascinates me, because I'm starting to see a shift. But how many families, I guess, were sacrificed on the altar of ministry?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got to be the man of the hour
mm-hmm.
while my family's at home, never seeing me, my own kids don't see me. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just for me personally speaking. I'm starting to see that shift, and I've lived that life. But in previous seasons where, you know, we were in the ministry positions and, you know, that's what I got to do and just going to be what it is.
Always,
you know, and there's been previous ministries we were part of that the kids weren't allowed to come with us. And I just decided this time, if my family can't come, then that's, I don't care.
Because they're part of you.
If my kids can't be here for a youth service, I'm not interested in doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, and again, I've held these beliefs before. We sometimes think that if there's distraction in the room, somebody could be distracted, God can't move. Well, if God's not big enough to move over the distraction,
mm-hmm.
then he's not a big enough God.
Right.
Because the God I know can take the distraction, turn it, and still speak to the heart of the individual.
He can block it out in He can block it out in you and me be distracted.
Exactly right.
Because he wanted you to hear it, not me. Mm-hmm. I've seen that. I've witnessed that.
Well, not just that, but I've read studies on this. You might be distracted in the moment, but who's to say when you get home and you go to sleep, something don't speak to you in the mm-hmm. midnight hours?
Mm-hmm.
because whether you realize it or not, your spirit was still paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like
this was distracted. Mm-hmm. Your mind was distracted, for those that can't see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But your spirit was still engaged somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like that. You know, if my baby starts crying when I'm ministering, so be it. He's a baby. That's what he's going to do.
That's what they do.
Either mommy will take him out, or I'll get him, or something, and we'll just keep flowing somewhere.
Crystal actually showed me that when we were younger. You can't be afraid to vacuum your house because your baby's sleeping.
No, that's one of the biggest mistakes you can make.
You gotta let them learn to sleep through noise.
Yep.
Because they need to be able to do that in order to get full rest. You know, they gotta hear noise.
Yep.
You don't want them jumping every time somebody opens a door.
Opens a door.
Because they're so used to being dead silent.
Yeah. You don't want that at all.
And I was like that for the longest time. I remember as a kid, anything used to wake me up. Anything. And now, if it ain't out of the ordinary, I don't wake up. Kids talking, they come in my room, they can have a full-on conversation with my wife. Generally, as long as they don't turn the light on, I don't hear nothing.
You're out completely.
I'm out completely. The phone can ring. As long as it ain't my ringer, I'm out completely.
Yeah. But you're like, your mind knows when your phone rings. That's different.
My mind knows when my phone rings and knows generally if it's the reason why I need to get up. Like, if one of our kids ain't home and my phone rings, okay, probably nothing important. If it rings the second time, I know it was important. I better answer it. It's something's outside or a family member's calling.
Yeah.
But most things don't disturb my sleep. I don't let them.
But... No, there was a lot to that whole statement of an hour. Just being around teenagers and having my own family, when you say you had an hour and 45-minute conversation, that's a big deal.
It was. And I was, even when we were going through it, and I'm like, because I think it started off, I kind of released and I started crying and just talking and talking. I was letting it flow out of me. You know, I know the Holy Spirit was talking.
Yeah.
He was using me. He was just opening me up in order for me to open to, for them to see me open up, and it opened them because they seen me open.
And you became, and this is just what I'm hearing as you're talking, you became a living scripture for them to read. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you became Ray verse mm-hmm. chapter 3 verse 1. That's what you became. Like
mm-hmm.
you didn't have a precise scripture. Mm-mm. For the moment, mm-mm. necessarily, but what was coming out of you,
mm-hmm.
they were reading the scriptures.
Yes. And I mean, they absorbed it like you wouldn't imagine. I could look back and see their faces. They were just literally not distracted with nothing.
We got to think that, I mean, that really reminds me, you think about how Jesus came and walked the earth and the mm-hmm. things that he spoke. Yes, there was times he would reference back to these scriptures from the Old Testament, but the other stuff that we have wrote down was he was the living word made mm-hmm. flesh.
He put it in a sense that everybody understood, and it opened them up and drawed them in.
Yeah. And if we could figure out how to have more of those kind of conversations, mm-hmm. you know, if we have a Bible verse, great, and I'm all for that. But if we don't, understanding that we're still having a conversation and building upon something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And honestly, I've been thinking it's about time to have that conversation situation come about again. With things changing, you know, every day is something new. Between one's working, the things going on with after school football programs, Scholars first year in middle school, we definitely need to have that time again to where they can open up and just let's explore how they're feeling in all these new changes.
I like that. If you do that, I'd like to know how it goes. Not to pry, be nosy, but that to me fascinates me
mm-hmm.
to see that there's families still doing that mm-hmm. and not just sitting around a dinner table, everybody with their cell phone and
off in their own little worlds.
Yeah.
And I feel like you get most of that on TV.
Yeah.
I think TV displays that to people.
I do. All right, last question, then we'll wrap it up about 4:30. If you could give one challenge to listeners, maybe whether it's man, woman, dad, mother, whatever. If you could give one challenge to them for reclaiming their attention this week, what would it be?
For reclaiming their children's attention? Mm-hmm. I don't want to throw out an easy one. I want something that's going to make them think. Let's say a challenge for the parent and the children. That would be brand new. Something unexplored that you have no knowledge about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have to go online and randomly search it up, say, like, if it's exploring something, or going and visiting somewhere, or maybe if you've never played Monopoly in your life, sit down, find a family thing, even if it is a board game, and try to get everybody together and interested in it. Show your interest in it, try to hype it up, and then roll the dice and see what happens.
I like that.
Something that everybody can be.
And when you do board games,
going out in the backyard and trying to have, you know, a softball game or a badminton game, something that everybody can be involved.
And when you do that board game or going outside and doing that, it can lead to afterwards
conversations
like we just said. You know, now that we've had all this fun, or if you're doing a board game, you can have conversations while doing it. But let's say you go in the backyard and do a game of softball or kickball or whatever. I used to love dodgeball. But once you get done, you know, just sitting down, laughing, and now as a family, you know, what'd you get out of that? Did you learn anything?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the conversations that can open up, because now you've created a space.
And you've got attention.
You've created a safe space to, now everybody's playing and laughing and having fun and taking that, I don't have to be afraid.
Looking back, I kind of see how that works, because I remember my wife had my kids' attention long before I did.
Mm-hmm.
As to be expected, moms spend more time with the babies than dads do.
Yeah.
But during that time, moms also have to be themselves. So when mom gets joy in her, and maybe she likes dancing, they turn on the music while she's doing whatever with the baby. There's baby sitting there eating and mom's doing dishes or whatever. She turns the music up and she starts dancing. The baby sees mama open up, cutting loose.
That's true.
And then learns to do it, which bonds mama more with the baby. Us as dads have to figure out, in our own sense, how do we do that?
Yeah. That's a good point.
It ain't always got to be, well, dad had to come home, the washing machine broke, you'll go help him fix the washing machine, you know, and try to talk to your child while you're upset and banging on stuff, trying to tear and fix stuff because you're in a hurry.
Yeah.
You know, there's other things that us dads like to do that can be competitive but still be fun.
Yeah.
You know, dodgeball, that's great. Let your kids hit you with a dodgeball. You ain't got to run. Just spin around.
Yep, just spin around.
They have a hard enough time hitting you anyway.
That's exactly right.
You know, ride down to your local park and go out there and kickball.
Walk on the trail, even. I mean, trails are everywhere nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. You want to close us out in prayer?
What's you doing? Go ahead.
Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this time together. And God, we just ask and pray a special blessing on every listener. Holy Spirit, may you teach them how to be present together, how to be engaged in conversations as families again with dads and kids and moms and kids and husbands and wives having conversation again. Just reveal yourself in the middle of the family. And help us to be present again with each other. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Ray.
Appreciate it.
Thank
these
you.
Are fun. I like these.
I love them.